Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the High Tea Hoops podcast.
High Tea Hoops.
Nice. Got it in there, Brian. This is Skylar, the Duchess of Hoops, back as always with Brian, the Duke of Hoops. Brian, how's it going?
It's going so great, Skylar. I tweeted this out yesterday or maybe today. Who knows? Time is just an endless loop.
Yeah.
That James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant have just given us so much great drama to follow in the NBA over the last decade.
Yeah. Three of my favorite drama causers.
Absolutely.
I guess let's just get into it. You just really cannonballed us into our topics for the day, Brian.
I know.
We're just going to do a quick news roundup for the NBA and the BBL before we get into our interview with Paul Nicholson. Super fun interview. We get into the Raiders Academy, the development system within the UK. Super interesting interview. Stick around for it. It was a really fun one.
Paul's great.
Paul is great.
He was a big fan of the show, which is shocking that any of you listen to this. So just hearing that he was a fan was incredible. Mm-hmm. And he was, he had so much good insights to share about youth development in the UK and about our Tottenham Hotspur, Skylar.
Yeah. We're just making every guest we have from now on talk about Tottenham. Yeah. Super fun interview. Stick around for that one. But let's get into our NBA news roundup. As you said, Brian, let's get into James Harden.
Let's do it.
He's been being a little mischievous troublemaker this week. The NBA teams went back to training camp this week. It seems fucking insane that they're in training camp already. Didn't the season just end? Harden decided not to show up.
You know what? I'd rather go clubbing.
Go clubbing. He was pictured in some Instagram stories, potentially, at a rapper's, birthday party, maybe, potentially in a different club the next night, potentially in a different club the next night, potentially maskless the whole time.
Not potentially maskless.
He was definitely maskless.
All of this is true.
Brian, it's unbelievable. We haven't gotten into this together yet. What have you thought about these Harden stories?
Okay, number one, not surprised at all.
He is not surprised at all.
Well known for doing this and being someone who loves going clubbing.
Yep.
And he is often pictured the night of or night after playoff series losses at strip clubs in Houston.
Often
the night before. Mm-hmm. And for this, I don't know what your opinion is on this. So this is breaking. But I'm going to go potentially old man lane here, Skylar, yelling at the clouds. I think this is incredibly unprofessional.
Yeah.
The Houston Rockets organization has done everything for Harden since he joined the team. Mm-hmm. I know it's incredibly difficult to lose your coach, to lose your GM, to kind of feel like your team is crumbling around you a little bit.
Yeah.
Harden has a portion of that of blame as well, because
he's been
in the room making a lot of those decisions, or at least messaging what he wants to do there. But he's, paid over $40 million a year? The example he is setting for the rest of the players in the league, for all of the fans of the NBA, for players looking up to him, I just think it's incredibly unprofessional. It puts new coach Steven Silas in a really hard spot. It creates a completely, a culture that you absolutely do not want to start off the season. And even if he's holding out, I hate this as a fan. As a professional, I just think it's a really bad precedent to set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Surprising maybe to you, Brian. I actually agree with you.
Okay. I thought you might, because this one is like,
this one's tough.
You didn't report, man. And you were in clubs. What are you doing?
A global pandemic.
So there's just so many parts of
there's so many factors to it.
Because the NBA released guidelines saying you need to quarantine for a certain amount of time before training camp starts to make sure everyone's safe at all the facilities. And we just hit another record-breaking deaths in one day in the U.S.
Yeah, especially
and
he's out in doing Texas, this. My man.
So it's just, I am all for player empowerment. I think if you're a free agent, go. If you know that you're leaving in a year or two, tell your team so they can at least get some return for you. And we've seen this, like New Orleans giving up Anthony Davis, built them a future instead of him just walking away in free agency. This has happened pretty consistently, but this is not player empowerment. This is just a player violating his contract, setting a really bad example for the rest of the league. and just kind of being an asshole. And I love James Harden.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I've always kind of loved Harden because he is a little bit of an asshole. Like,
yeah.
Like you said, this is not surprising. He showed up late to the bubble. He showed up late to training camp last year. This is something that he's always just kind of done. And it's always just been kind of entertaining. Like, it's always been, you know, pretty low stakes. He's a couple days late. If it makes him happy, like, it's probably worth it. But we're in a global pandemic. He's being so fucking irresponsible. He won't show up. Like, you were right. Like, Steven Silas is the new coach. It puts him in a really, really hard position. It was a really funny story that came out today. Yeah. He was like, yeah, I had a really meaningful talk with Harden this morning. They were like, oh, what happened? He was like, yeah, I said hello to him. It's like, oh, that's...
he knows. He gets it.
That's as meaningful as your talks are. So, at least he's here. I mean, I am with you. I really hate the position that this puts pretty much everyone in. Because, like, the Rockets, it's basically... they have to give him what he wants and pretty much fuck themselves over, or what? They hold on to him, they don't give him what he wants, and then players see that and no one ever wants to come to Houston again. Like, they're just kind of fucked.
Yeah.
And it's just a really shitty position to be in. And I honestly just, I feel for him. It's tough to be a Rockets fan right now.
And in contrast, you have Russell Westbrook, who was traded from OKC, so ripped out of his home and put on the Rockets, and then within 1 year traded to the Wizards. And he reports, what, it was like 3 hours before the first practice at training camp. He's
there. Yeah, I mean, that's Russell.
But that's just such a different attitude to set compared to Harden, where everyone criticizes Westbrook's game because, I mean, he's obviously not a great shooter right now, and Harden is the superior player. But the attitudes are so different. And even though Westbrook has arguably been treated a lot worse, he's just been, you know, thrown around with his contract to different teams, he's still showing up. You can still see his work ethic, and Harden just doesn't have it.
Yeah. I feel like Russell needs to stop catching, like, this slander.
Yeah.
Because, like, Russell has honestly never really done anything to deserve it, and he's just kind of got caught up in shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think the triple-double campaign where he won MVP and then everyone turned on him winning MVP for that is just, you know, it's he wanted to grab every rebound. And it's like Steven Adams.
So does everyone.
Steven Adams was like, he goes and gets those rebounds. Like, he'll jump over me to get the rebound. I'm not letting him get these rebounds.
Yeah.
And whether or not he should have won MVP that season, the media voted for him. Yeah. So they can't change the narrative on him. So I agree. This reflects really well on Westbrook. And Harden, man, come on. We love you. I love the beard. We have little beard Christmas sweaters from when we went to the Christmas Day game. We're supporters.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. It's tough. I guess let's move on.
I'm excited for that story.
I'll stop being just a sad Rockets fan for a second.
Well, last time when were we spilling the tea, Skylar? Last episode, we're like, Wall and Harden, could it work? And I'm like, there's no way they're staying together. And the story was, they're going to try to keep them together. So I think you're right. It's looking like Harden is going to be on his way out.
Okay, so moving on to a little bit of a more fun story,
Saucy, a little spiciness here.
Yeah. Zach Lowe reported for the first time yesterday, NBA coaches are no longer required to wear sports coats during games.
Love it.
They must wear business attire, meaning no track pants are allowed, and they must wear face masks. Brian, who do you think is going to be pulling the best fits of the NBA coaches?
Hands down, Steve Nash. He is going to just storm into his first season. He is a stylish man. Oh, yeah. Because it's his first year. We've never seen him on the sideline.
I didn't think about it. Yeah.
First season, he's in incredible shape. Very handsome man. And
is he?
Steve Nash?
I'm not sure about that.
I'm looking at myself in the camera right now, and I'm like, I would die to look like Steve Nash.
He's interesting looking for sure.
All right. You don't have to be attracted to like a 40-year-old dude too, Skylar. I'm attracted to
plenty of 40-year-olds.
That's very fair. So Steve Nash, I think he's going to show up on the sideline. He does a lot of partnerships with different fashion lines. So I think he's going to show. I'm excited for that. And I am sneaky excited for Stan Van Gundy, Skylar. I think he's going to bust out some crazy cash attire.
The thing is, Stan Van Gundy was like always kind of pushing the limits of like what was professional enough during games anyways.
So those are my two calls.
I just saw a tweet the other day that said like, I forget what the exact wording was, but it said basically like Stan Van Gundy dresses like basically like a mob boss who's like trying to blend in. Like he's always got like a weird polo under like a sports jacket that like doesn't quite make sense. So yeah, I'm excited about him. I feel like Spolstra, I tweeted about this. Ooh, I'd love to see him in a cozy turtleneck on Christmas Day. I feel like same thing there. Very handsome man. I feel like he's stylish. He's had a lot of stylish players on his teams.
He's in Miami. It's part of the culture. He's in Miami.
He could get Tyler Hero to help him out.
Yep.
I feel like we could see some good fits from Spolstra. What do you think of this move by the NBA, though? Do you think this is cool?
I love this. I love them in the bubble. I give them track suits.
Bring back those polos though. Those polos were so weird.
Yeah. This is hilarious to me. Like, great. Like, I think that coaches should be able to express themselves like players. And if we have a league fits for coaches, that would be incredible.
Yes.
I'm supportive of it.
You know who's not going to break out some nice fits?
Hold. Cause I'm going to ask you that. I want to know your thoughts there. I love seeing like a Vince McCauley on the sidelines just flaring out in BBL games. So I want to see some of that in the NBA.
I love a full tracksuit on a coach.
Yeah. And just think of Premier League. The Premier League managers, it's just they can really showcase their personalities. And I want to see NBA coaches do that. They need to become international icons.
Exactly.
Okay. Question for you. Who is going to roll up with the worst outfits? And you can't say Brad Stevens.
No, that's who I was going to say.
Yes, I knew you were going to say it. You can't say the professor.
No, that's my only answer. It's Brad Stevens. He is going to show up in those puke khaki magic
suits
every week like normal. He probably didn't even hear this news. It's
He's like, wait, we can wear whatever we want? Coach. Why is the other coach wearing that? Why can't I? He's like, well, I have 25 of the same suits.
Yeah, he's like, I got these for the job, so I don't know what to do now.
I was splitting them with Gordon Hayward. Where are they? Like, where are we? I knew you were going to pick that. Great move, NBA.
I just really wanted to slander Brad Stevens' suits. Had to get it in there. All right, this was great, Brian. Let's move on to a little BBL roundup.
Love it.
And then we'll transition into the Paul interview. We're just going to do a little BBL roundup. Who's hot? Who's not? There's a lot of games. We're like fully in the middle of everything now. And so it's hard to keep up. So we'll just run through.
Yeah. Go listen to BBL show. Go listen to Below the Rim. Like, they cover the games great. We're just going a little high level here.
Yeah. So Brian, who did you have that was hot this week in the BBL?
Number one for me, High T Hoops guest, Ramon Fletcher. Again, BBL player of the week. They beat the London Lions.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming through big. And we tweeted this. If you come on the High T Hoops podcast, there's a very high percent chance that you will be BBL player of the week or of the month, because DeAndre Liggins got player of the month. Ramon Fletcher's got like three or two BBL players of the week. So Ramon, BBL legend, obviously, two-time MVP, is just coming through. Even as the veteran, and the Eagles look strong. So he's my first one.
Nice. Who else you got for us, Brian?
Oh, you just want me to run through?
Yeah, keep going.
Are you going to do who's not?
Yeah, I'm just going to roast people today.
Okay, next up, Plymouth Raiders, home of my number one BBL fantasy league draft. Number one, did I say that right? Ashley Hamilton was my number one pick. It sounded wrong after I said it. Ashley Hamilton, number one pick in my BBL fantasy team. He's been killing it. They beat the Eagles. And we talk about this with Paul, because Paul said he was commenting the game and then cheered when the Raiders.
This is a really funny story.
When the Raiders beat the Eagles, and Ramon was like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, you have some professionalism. So we had to go apologize to Ramon.
It's so funny.
But the Raiders beating the Eagles, they're undefeated as well. You love to see it. And then I'll go two more before you get your hot one, Skylar.
Okay.
I had a lot this week. Manchester Giants, have to mention them. Undefeated in championship play as well. They beat the Flyers. They beat the Rocks. Sorry, Johnny Bunyan. Not this time. And my fourth, I don't think you've ever heard this name before, Skylar.
I have never heard this name.
New player in the BBL, Jimbo Lull.
Is this man American?
I think he is, yeah.
Jimbo. He has to be with that name.
Jimbo, incredible name.
Jimbo Lull.
Definitely, we got to do a ranking of our favorite BBL names. Johnny Bunyan.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Johnson Thompson. You love Johnson
Thompson.
I love Johnson
Thompson.
I drafted him, too, on my fantasy team. Loved him. Porter Bunsen's a great name. A lot of hyphenated names in the BBL.
Yeah.
So, Jimbo Lull comes in strong. He's one of the BBL top five of the week. He's just two games, 22-8-3.
That's a way to make an entrance.
And just is killing it for the Phoenix to their strong start. So, Fletcher, the Raiders, the Giants, Jimbo, good on you. You're hot this week on the High T Hoops podcast.
Yeah, and if any other players want to be hot, come on the High T Hoops podcast.
Come on the pod. Jimbo Lull, we need you on.
Come on the pod. Yeah, I have one who's hot for the week. It's the BBL. It's the BBL.
Whoa.
BBL in general. They listened to us.
They did. Literally us. They listened to this pod.
They literally listened to the High T Hoops podcast and decided because of that to change the BBL player. It's now £20 a month for all of the games instead of before it was just the one team, which was pretty much everyone's main criticism was that they wanted all the games. And I actually just, I really want to give the BBL their, you know, their flowers in the moment because they did listen to their fans and made the, you know, made the changes that they were asking for. And they also just in the tweets where they addressed it were like, hey, we messed up. We're really sorry. We listened to you. We understand that this is the better way. And so now we're going to do that. And I think it was just really cool that they came out there and were like, hey, we fucked this up and we totally get that now. And you guys helped us figure it out. And now we're going to do it better. And we're sorry. Yep. I think admitting that is really big of them and they didn't have to do it. And so I just thought it was really cool and really good of them.
Yeah. Love the transparency. Hats off to Selena Conroy, head of comms at BBL. That's what we hiring someone like that for this role makes such a huge difference.
Yeah.
Cause she went on the BBL show podcast and just said she is constantly on Twitter listening to fans. She's listening to all the podcasts. She's trying to understand the fan voice and that she can kind of be the in-between between the league and what the fans want and need and what the, you know, even the players.
Yeah.
And for them to do this in 1 week, Skylar, we both work at corporations. We're both
it's hard to do that in a week.
With all the different owners having, like, I don't know how they pulled that off in a week. Yeah. It's really impressive, but they did it and I'm appreciative. Yeah. We have a real BBL league pass now, which is awesome.
Yeah, really cool. Okay, let's move on to who's not hot this week, Brian.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to start with the Surrey Scorchers.
Okay.
This is my team. I've now announced this on Twitter. I've now announced this on the podcast.
Despite Paul's best efforts.
Right. Despite Paul's best efforts, I am a Surrey Scorchers supporter. However, I need them to get it together now. We've had a couple blowout losses now. Just lost to the Sharks, 105-61.
That's rough, Skylar.
It's tough. It's tough to be a Scorchers fan out here right now.
Does it count that we had Coach Creon on?
I think it's only players. I don't think.
Okay.
I think that was just me too.
So you got to come on with Skylar and me. And then maybe you're the good luck charm.
Maybe I have to try a solo pod with a player. Who knows?
Yeah. At least the AB test it.
To test it. Yeah.
Yeah. Scorchers. This was a tough one.
Yeah. That's all I have to say on that. Moving on. Who else was not out of the week? This is a tough one.
So the next one. So Scorchers is tough, Skylar, because you're a fan of the Scorchers now.
Yeah.
Came out publicly. We love a lot of their individual players. Shout out Martell McElmore, Detroit basketball. And this is a player that I'm a huge fan of.
Yes.
I have gotten to know through social media a bit. I drafted him pretty high on my fantasy basketball team for the BBL. So I'm a big supporter, but Kevin Ware came out there and didn't get any points and the Lions lost. So this was tough. So Kevin, if you're listening, we support you. I want you to get buckets, man. You're one of the best players out there. And I just want to see you be successful. And I know that was a rough showing, but we got to rebound from this. Both of our, you know, we're fanning right now, Skylar, and our we need our teams and players to come up and come up big for us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough time. But you know what?
They'll rebound.
You know what? They'll rebound. They could be on Who's Hot next week. If they really want to guarantee it, they'll come on the High T Hoops pod.
Seriously, Kevin Ware, come on.
Come on the pod. Maybe that's, you know, the secret you've been missing. All right, this has been awesome, Brian. Let's move on to our Paul Nicholson interview right now. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the High T Hoops podcast.
High T Hoops.
Nice, Brian. This is Skylar, the Duchess of Hoops, here with Brian, the Duke of Hoops, as always. You really got in there that time, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Can't wait for Christmas, and vaccines are coming out. Maybe I will one day be able to play basketball again.
Yeah, some positive vibes this morning. I love it, Brian. We're so excited this morning to be joined by Paul Nicholson, the lead academy coach for the Plymouth Raiders, the head coach for the Raiders Development U18s, and a co-commentator for the Plymouth Raiders TV. I knew I was going to mess it up. Yeah. And live BBL games.
Well, there's so much.
There's so much to get through. I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it. Paul, how's it going? We're so excited to have you.
Oh, thank you, guys. No, really, really excited to be here, to be fair, because I'm a fan of the show, first of all. So I always get a little bit nervous when it comes to this sort of thing because I don't want the episode that I'm in to be the one that I don't actually like.
We'll tell you if this one gets the least amount of listens. Don't worry. Really help your ego out there.
No, really excited. No, I've just been doing loads of different things like this. Like you've seen, I've got many hats. That's how it is sometimes in British basketball. And we've got a great group of guys at Plymouth Raiders who we all kind of dig in and get involved. And we, you know, one day I could be coaching the academy. One day I'm on TV commentary. The next day I might be selling advertising. And we've got multiple guys who do that. So it's, it's good.
So is life in sports.
Yeah, I'm slowly discovering that, you know. I've done it for a long time, but I've only been full-time for a few years, and I'm slowly discovering that, multiple hats is a good thing, but sometimes are very tiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I agree that we would let Brian just get some Tottenham questions out of the way up at the beginning. Yeah. I feel like we have to do this every time. You know, we did this with Benson. Every time we have a Tottenham fan come on, I just have to give him 5 minutes. So
what do you mean?
I apologize.
This is the topic for the podcast.
Take it, Brian.
It's not.
It's not the topic, guys. Don't stop listening now if you're not a Tottenham fan.
If Selena Conroy is listening, the BBL head of comms, known Arsenal fan. It was just our weekend, Paul.
She used to like me, you know, until this weekend gone. Probably until she finds out that I'm a Tottenham fan.
She got real quiet after I tweeted at her saying, I'm ready for this derby. And I haven't heard from her since.
Do you know what? Because we obviously had the Newcastle game. Mm-hmm. Well, I got back from the Newcastle game. I used to be one of those people who try to avoid the score and watch the highlights.
Yeah,
I can't help it on derby day. I looked at the score, and that night that was a good night.
It was. It still feels good.
Beat Arsenal. Yeah, I'll take that any day of the week.
So, a few questions for you before we get into basketball.
Go on.
Actually, these are basketball questions, Skylar. So I'm cheating the system here. Do you think Tottenham playing basketball after training has been the key to their success?
See, that's a good question. You know, that's a very good question. Why not?
Team chemistry? You're having fun?
Yeah, let's go with it. Hand-eye coordination. I don't know why that's relevant at all.
Cross-training?
You know, they say when you're younger, multiple sports is always good. So maybe these guys are just kind of taking that route. Let's go with it. Because until they started playing basketball, we were always shoulda, woulda, coulda guys, right?
Yeah, as soon as they started hooping.
Yeah, that's it. Game on.
Yeah. You know, Jose says, like, we need to be mean guys, bad guys. And basketball gets that little cutthroat attitude in there.
So you watched the same documentary as me then?
Oh, loved it. I chose those words over others that he uses. Okay, next question. What player on Tottenham would be your number one pick for a basketball team?
Like current player or
current? No, current player right now. Who are you plucking off that squad, putting them into your development program? They're going to be a Plymouth Raider someday.
You see, I got two. So I'm going either Harry Kane, right? Because Harry Kane, he knows where the goal is. He'll know where the net is, right? You know that guy that just can just pull up from anywhere and your money all day? That's Harry Kane right there.
Yep, great feel around the hoop.
By the way, do you get told you look like Harry Kane? I literally never thought that until we got on this Zoom. I'm really sorry.
I get that a lot. Even the academy program that I work in, when I introduce myself to one of the classes we've never met before, for the whole season, one of the kids called me Harry.
Love it.
The other guy would be Hugo Lloris.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Defensive presence. Big hands, big body.
From France. Definitely played some basketball growing up.
Yeah.
Little Rudy Gobert vibes.
Eye coordination.
Yeah, I like a good defensive player. You know, so I would be putting him up in the mix as well.
So would you give Rudy Gobert a max contract for the Jazz? Is that what you're saying?
Brian, we're so early in the podcast. Stop putting him in these traps.
Can I have one more just terrible question?
Do I get
one more? Okay. Thank you for the Tottenham questions. Moving on. You just launched your own podcast, the Plymouth Raiders, the podcast. Congratulations. You're entering the podcast game. Skylar and I are, salty veterans. We've been doing this for, over 5 months now. So what questions do you have for us about podcasting? How can we help? you got a microphone. That's step one.
Yeah, I don't want to move it because I think the sound's good.
Yeah, so don't move it.
Right there. So I want, when we come up with this podcast, I've done loads, I love podcasts anyway. And I listen to a lot of podcasts like yours, like others, and I won't give too many names in it. Some are great.
Us. He pointed at us for the listeners.
But some are not so great. And I think it's because there's so much generic stuff out there, right? Yeah. So many people saying the same thing, but regurgitating it time and time again. So for me, I would say, what do you guys do to kind of keep it fresh and keep it different?
That's a great question. Wow.
It is.
Well, you're going to be a good podcaster. That's a good sign.
That was a great question.
Skylar, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, I feel like I have two pieces of advice. I feel like if you're doing a pod where you know that there will be other people talking about what you're going to be talking about, don't listen to any of the other pods. Don't even look at Twitter. Because it inevitably you will end up regurgitating stuff just without even thinking about it. So just don't listen to anything. Don't look at Twitter. Do that all after. My second piece of advice, which I don't even know how strong I stand in this because it scares myself a lot, is don't be afraid to just say what you're thinking. Like, don't be afraid if people are going to get mad, if like players get mad, coaches get whoever. Just say what you're thinking because people will always appreciate that more than like people playing it safe, even if you make some people mad.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. The first mistake I made is we just had we're getting our house redone. And the room I'm in now is my wife's photo studio. And we were doing this room and there was nothing in here. It was empty, replastered, completely empty. I had no microphone and I did the podcast in here. Mm-hmm. It really sounded like I was in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
The first thing my GM said to me, he said, great podcast, really love it. You're in a fishbowl.
It sounds great right now.
Next day, microphone, we're done.
Yeah, you got it figured out. You're a pro already.
My piece of advice, and this is for anyone starting a podcast, this is real. So I'm not being cheeky or I'm not being mischievous.
I wasn't being
right
cheeky
now,
either, Brian.
No, yours was serious, but you blame me for being mischievous all the time.
Yeah.
What is your unique perspective on the topic? What is your competitive differentiator? What do you bring to it? So we're obviously Americans covering British basketball, which, why? But we also bring unique experiences in basketball. So, if for me, it's like I played AAU growing up. I was an NBA fan since I could remember. So we have those unique perspectives that we can bring into whatever we talk about and our unique interests. And Zoe Skaman came on the pod and said, all right, figure out what your like three pillars are. Like for me, I love basketball. I love business and I love the media side. So taking those unique approaches, Skylar is doing her fit. So she has her unique things that she's also blending into basketball. So that's what I would say, competitive differentiators, or what is your unique outlook on whatever you're covering?
Yeah, I like it, because that's something we try. We wanted to make it a little bit different. So like, for us, it was, if we touch on basketball, that's fine. But the idea was, actually, we didn't really want to talk that much about basketball.
Yeah.
It was about lives of these guys. You know, the episode that's out already with Alvisi Dusha,
mm-hmm.
he has some incredible stories of how he was an illegal immigrant and came over with his family. And he didn't even go into the half of it, but just the trials and tribulations that he had to go through just to mm-hmm. be in this country before he even touched a basketball was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like that is, I think, in this day and age, people just want to hear, they want to hear a few more stories than stats. They want they want the inside information. They want to really know the people. You know, I can compare it to maybe if you went for a drink with someone. If you go for a drink with someone, that's the stories you're going to get.
Yeah. Completely agree. I love the human stories. So I am so excited to listen to your podcast. Everyone go subscribe right now. We finally got Brian's Tottenham questions out of the way. Let's get into this interview. Let's finally get into it. All right, Paul, we brought you on as kind of the, you know, expert on the British basketball youth development scene. You know, we're still pretty new to the scene. So if you were to meet someone who was super new, how would you describe the youth basketball development system in the UK right now? How do kids get developed? When are they, you know, when are they getting discovered? How are they getting recruited? Are they, you know, are they signing up? Are you finding them? That kind of thing. And does it look different in the UK as opposed to the US or in Europe? Just give us a little bit of a primer.
I appreciate the title of expert. I want to take that away because I know there's so many guys who are phenomenal at this, developing players, you know, but much appreciated. So that's the kind of question I've been asked a few times. I've attended camps a lot in America, and they just, one of the first things they go to is like, what do you guys do differently?
Yeah.
For me, like, so the system works like this, right? So you've got, first of all, just fundamental playing basketball, right? So just kids playing basketball, like maybe in school age or younger, you know, under sevens, under six, just picking up a basketball, maybe just shooting around, having some fun.
Because it's taught in schools, right?
It's growing massively. It's growing absolutely massively. But it depends what area you're in as well. You know, if you're in London, you got a lot of basketball. Manchester, you got a lot of basketball. If you go to the sort of outside of the big cities, there's a little bit less. There's more, where I live, there's a lot of rugby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of rugby, a lot of cricket. Things like that. So there's a lot of sports out there you need to compete with to begin with. But you have a system where everything, just like Europe, there's a club system. So you don't necessarily play, you will play for your school at a young age. So that pre 15 age, you will play for your school, but there's not really many focuses on school basketball. Not as much as there should be. You know, each school has their team. Sometimes some schools might have one, two good players on it. Some may have more. Just depends what area you're in. But what you find is where we are in Plymouth, the best kids from each school will come and play for the club.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can join the club. You can play recreational, pay some money, play some basketball. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to take it seriously, you can try out for the team. Under 12s, under 14s, under 16s, under 18s. And then it goes into academy. So that's like kind of your under 19s.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will go into university. But on top of that, you would also have NBL Division 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
That gets regionalized as well. So there is a lot of basketball to be played.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the main thing for kids here is finding their level. And the main challenges we have is having people find their level early and get involved early. You know, so many kids I've had at 15, 16, 17 who've maybe not played basketball or only played a year of basketball. You know, we want to really bring kids in at a younger age. So for us, a big point is just bringing these guys in young. What can we offer them? Can we keep them in the system? You know, can we give them the best opportunities from a young age and not just 15, 16-year-old that just likes the game? And it's trying to offer something for all of them. I think the big difference like we said, is things like the TV coverage, the media outlets, all this sort of stuff. The accessibility for the league, it's good and it's getting better. But if I walk down the street where you live and I said, hey, what about the Lakers? Or hey, what about the Pistons or whatever, right?
Well, not the Pistons, Paul.
Thank you for throwing in the Pistons. Thank you.
And they're going to answer you because they're going to know. You might not like the answer, but they'll answer you.
Yeah.
If I said I could go to somewhere in Sheffield and say, hey, what about the Sheffield Sharks? They may not have any idea what I'm on about.
Yeah.
You know, we just need to be known. Yeah. I think when we get known, development of the young players will probably come a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to do more in the summer. I know you guys have AAU.
Yes, we do.
Taken over high school basketball, right?
Yeah.
The people care more about AAU because now there's deals involved. There's college recruitment involved. There's
all super teams that can get built. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Where in the summer for us, historically, we shut up shop a little bit and we work on skills and fundamentals and stuff. Where there's a place for that. But kids want to play.
Yeah. Kids or have a show. Like AAU is the show. It's like there's a lot of mystique around it and there's a lot of fun. And I just learned this, Skylar, friend of the pod, Murray Hendry, who's a Glasgow Rocks, you know, fan favorite. He started playing when he was like 18.
So old.
And he's like, what, he's 6'8". He has like a 40-inch vertical. He's a freak athlete. And it's like, okay, if he started when he was six, what could he be developed into?
Yeah.
Yeah. You get that. That's normal. So I coached a kid who he's now in Colorado, Adams State University. But he came on board at like 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite old, really, when you think about someone who wants to progress into American college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think the biggest thing for us in the UK is bringing people through the door at a young age with so many distractions around them, where basketball isn't your biggest sport. It's your fastest growing sport, but it's not rugby. It's not football.
Yep.
You know, and that's the challenge.
Yeah.
I started playing basketball because I saw a friend playing basketball and that was it really. I saw him in the garden playing basketball. I tried playing it. It was good. I watched NBA because NBA actually was on TV in the UK as well then, not just on Sky. And that got me into it. But then all of a sudden basketball became very inaccessible for people. You couldn't see it anywhere. You couldn't find it anywhere. And then it's now that's the whole transformation's happened and it's coming back.
Yeah. But, you said you mentioned how as the league becomes more known and as, you know, basketball in general grows in the UK, how that will, you know, lead to you guys being able to develop more players and develop them better. Do you think that it could work the other way too? Do you think that if, you know, you were to get a bunch of kids into the, you know, into development programs that could, you know, create BBL fans out of them, it could create basketball fans out of them, and it could kind of become, you know, a reinforcing loop?
Yeah, 100%. So a big thing I have with my guys is I really encourage them all when I send them the links to every game. I send them all the stuff that they can watch. I send them all the podcasts about British basketball. I just send that in our chats to them because I just want them to be involved a little bit.
Yeah.
The amount of kids I've met who've played for a club from the age of 12 to 18 and never actually been to watch a BBL team play.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's huge.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't watched them on TV. They just like playing basketball. And I don't think that's just in my area. I think that's known throughout the country. A lot of players are like that.
Yeah. Because it's actually a thing in the WNBA too. Like we just had the WNBA draft and, you know, a bunch of the players who got drafted, they asked them who their favorite WNBA players were, who they looked up to. And a lot of them just didn't have any answers because they weren't really watching WNBA games. It's kind of similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very much. So I tried to do what I can with my guys, and what we do with the academy program is I actually offer out, we can't do it in a minute because of the restrictions in place, but we have work experience for all my players. So my players on a typical game day would be maybe mopping the floor or whatever on the court, grabbing rebounds for the guys, just get them involved so they can see these people, so they can see Andrew Lawrence, Ashley Hamilton, and look up to them and want to go there. And then we invite the pro players in to do some training with the guys.
Yeah.
And just try and build some sort of rapport with that. yeah, we're privileged where we are attached to a pro club.
Yeah.
Where there is plenty of people out there which are not. So it's them trying to find their niche as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. It's always been a challenge because you're fighting against other sports, but it's growing and it's certainly getting there. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a big focus on let's have players become successful overseas, you know, in the NBA mm-hmm. that were actually developed in the UK system where, OG Anunoby is from the UK. He's born in London, but I think he was only, 1 year in London before he moved to the States?
If they got passport, we'll hang on to that as long as we can.
Yes, hang on to it. But I think, the Cam Hildreth story is powerful because he was actually brought up in the development system. And I know his dad was a exceptional player as well, so that helps when you have that type of coaching from an early age. But I'm hoping that we can see more of that talent being developed, from an early age where they don't go to the States, so they don't go and they can actually go through these systems and show that, it's legit.
There's a lot out there. Like before Cam, there was a few, and there's a lot which go unknown just because the social media hype wasn't as big. Yeah. And if you look at Luke Nelson in the GB squad.
Yep.
So I remember coaching against Luke Nelson. It was under 18s. I think it was, I can't remember how long ago it was now, but he was just turned 15 years old. And he was playing for their under 18s team. But at the same time, he was playing for their Division One team. And he was getting 20 points a game for their Division One team. And at under 18s, he absolutely smoked us. He's 15 years old, he smoked us.
He's good.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've never seen a talent like that in front of my very own eyes right there. Just, I'm calling a timeout and they're looking at me and I'm like, because you got him anyway. And he was like Cam, he just created something out of nothing and it was unbelievable.
Cam has no right dunking like that, by the way.
No, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
He looks just like a scrawny white guy that's out there and then he'll just explodes up and throws it down. I'm like, why can't I do that? Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. How tall is he? Is he 6'4"? 6'5"?
I don't know if he is that tall.
He better be that tall or I'm going to be even more mad.
Brian is 6'3". So if he is shorter than him.
Hey, Skylar, 6'4". I'm listed at 6'4", all right?
With shoes on?
No, I'm just listed at 6'4".
With a hat on?
Yeah, I don't know how tall he is, but he's special. And there's a lot of kids out there like that. And there's a lot of kids in the UK which really go underrated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So on that, I was just gonna say on that, what are some of the goals of the academies and clubs? So it seems like there is a path to go through these systems. Yeah. So like Skylar said, are they trying to become, are you trying to get them into the BBL? What are some of your goals of these players coming out of the academies?
It depends on who you are and where you are. So you've got different types. So you've got your academies. And if you look at your Myerscoffs, your Barking Abbeys, people like that, your Haringey Hawks,
mm-hmm.
those guys, they're about winning. Mm-hmm. They recruit a lot, heavily recruit.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of academies, which you will get an influx of local players, but you will also get, you're trying to recruit the best kids in the country, period. Mm-hmm. And they are great programs. Like Marsco going overseas, Haringey going overseas to Europe and winning games over there. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They are top, top academies. And then you also got ones which you need to look after the local kids. Because I'm Plymouth born and bred. I'm a Plymouth fan, always have been. So when I run an academy, my first thing is I want to make sure every kid in Plymouth has got a home to play basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be bringing in too many guys who are going to take their place. And that's just because I want to look after our own for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that means we can't compete at the top division or whatever. It is what it is. We'll get there eventually. And, we start from the bottom up. But I believe there's a pathway for everyone. And I believe you can come to our academy. You can play throughout all the age groups. You can then go to university. And then you can then maybe, if you're good enough, train for the BBL team.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel Ubiaro was he still is in university. He's not a Plymouth player. He's from London. But he came down to university in Plymouth. And now he's absolutely killing it right now in the BBL, making a name for himself.
Yeah.
And there's stories like that all over. So it is possible that you can go from 12 years old and go through the system.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm not in the business to crush anybody's dreams. And if someone wants to go to America, hey, you go for it. You fill your boots, live your dream, But as long as we give them the right information and we prepare them in the right way for that, mm-hmm. because it's not quite as easy as I'm going to jump to America and live the dream, because you could easily get lost in the system there as well.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's routes for everyone. There's so many young players playing Division Three, Division Two, Division One basketball these days in England. Mm-hmm. And there's so many going overseas. And I personally just think there's something for both. You could go both avenues.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd love to keep everyone here, but I'm a person of experience and I like to go and see things and do things and try things. Yeah. And yeah. I can't do that if I stay in Plymouth my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that segues nicely into what advice do you have for young British hoopers?
So explore. Like the main thing on that, explore. You know, don't just be there's nothing wrong with being a one club guy, mm-hmm. but you've got opportunities to go places, go to camps, go overseas to camps,
yep. mm-hmm.
go to an AAU tournament, like go visit a high school, go over to Europe and be in a tournament or something like that. Just go explore different avenues. You know, if you've only ever been in one club and coached by one coach, you're going to know one way.
Yeah.
And we all know basketball is not one way. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. it's different thought process, it's different people, it's different advice, it's different tactics. Like, go see the world mm-hmm. and figure it out what looks good for you. It's the same with coaching as well. Like, if I had a role model who's one coach and that's the only coach I listen to, I'm going to coach like him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will never actually figure out what works for me. And I think it's the same for players. So my biggest advice is get out there, see the world, play basketball in different countries, different places, meet different people.
Yeah.
You know, don't just stick to the...
You also see your level. Like if you have only played in one city or one state and you're the best one, I can guarantee you, you're not the best if you expand out of that bubble a little bit more. And that challenges you. It pushes you to be a better player when you kind of have that step change and that step level to people that you get, you know, rocked by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to push up. Like, if you're the best player, you're under 16s group, you need to be playing under 18s. Mm-hmm. If you're the best player under 18s, you need to be playing Division 3, Division 2, or whatever. You know, you have to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah.
And that's also a lot of responsibility on the coach. The coach has to set that play in motion.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's not even going into a league or joining a new team. It's like you said, going to a camp. Go to the States to play in a camp where you can see the best and, you know, what different countries have to offer. Because those are less commitment, but you can actually get the, oh, shit, I need to work harder. Like, I need to up-level my game.
I had that experience, but not as a player, as a coach. You know, I've coached here in Plymouth. I've only ever coached for Plymouth. I coached Southwest England, which is kind of like, from club basketball, you have regional basketball, and mm-hmm. then you have national basketball. And that's fine. We went overseas, did tournaments. But I made a decision to contact someone who I met at a GB camp and say, look, I want something else. I need something else. Like, I need more influences. And he invited me to get in contact with someone in the States. And I went to an organization called Hoop Group. I don't know if you know who they are. That makes me sound terrible now because I tell everyone. It's a camp organization in the States who run really massive, massive recruitment camps in America. So they're based over in Pennsylvania, and there's 700 kids in these camps, and you have like 60 odd coaches there. And I went there for the first time visiting America, and it just took me by storm.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the level of players, physically and athletically, at that age, at a young age, was unreal.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, actually, wasn't a huge amount of difference. You know, I think fundamentally, our best players were head and shoulders above some of those.
Mm-hmm.
But athletically and physically, it was just a different beast.
Mm-hmm.
Different beast. And you see why guys who maybe not quite as skilled, but they're big and strong, get picked up, because you can teach the skills. You can't teach the...
Mm-hmm. Well, and our best athletes go into basketball.
Yeah.
You know, it's the cool sport. Everyone is attracted to it.
Yeah, very much so. It's something which from that point on, it was a real eye opener, and I just made it a point to learn from as many coaches as possible and ask questions. And we try and do that down here with all our coaches. We've got a guy who kind of looks after us and kind of coaches us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a team. He just looks after us. And sometimes we need that.
Yes, absolutely.
I think everyone needs that. let's finish up on one last question on youth development, and then we want to hear more about, you know, all the different hats you wear. So we'll move on to some of those. But why is developing youth talent important to British basketball as a whole?
That was a really, I saw that question, and that's such a,
it's a big one.
A great question.
It's a big one. I like giving guests the tough ones. It's no cakewalk on the High Tea Hoops pod.
And it's a broad question, so you can go anywhere with it.
Yeah.
We're excited.
It's, right. Okay.
Lock it in, Paul. Lock it in. I'll stall for you for a second.
The short answer is everything about everything. And I know that sounds really weird. It just is. It's, you need to start at home with the coaches, first of all, right? Mm. Because if you want to develop talent in British basketball, you have to develop yourself to develop the talent. Mm-hmm. So that's where it starts. And it's just, if we want to grow the game, we need people invested in the game. You mm-hmm. need coaches invested, you need kids invested, you need parents invested, mm-hmm. you need the guy down the street who just watches TV invested. Like, you just need everyone in it involved if you want to grow the game. So having the kids who go to school, who have all their friends, who see all their mates everywhere they go, who go home and speak to their families, having them invested and develop not just the skills, but actually just knowing the game of basketball will be contagious, because Chinese mm-hmm. whispers. And that will just happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for us as British basketball, we wanted to do better at the national scene. It has been happening a lot. Like, our junior national programs and our senior national programs have been, you know, working wonders, women and men. So I think we need to keep pushing that. And to keep pushing that, we've got to develop the young players.
Yep.
And those young players need to be somewhere where they can be competitive, whether that's here, whether that's overseas, whether that's in club basketball or whatever. They need to compete at a level that pushes them. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that here and keep everything here, it's only going to grow, and then the product's only going to become more attractive. And as we know with the world that we're in, if the product's more attractive, more likely people are going to buy into it.
I thought you did great. I think that's a great
I thought response. That was a great answer.
No, the coaching point is, I love that too. It's like, you don't think about, we need to educate the people actually educating the players. And that's where you always have to start, or there's no developing that happens.
And I was guilty for that. The guy, he asked one of the questions on Twitter as well. So he's a good friend of mine.
I'm excited for that one.
I was in a big rut at one point, because I was in a league in the conference, which was in the Southwest Conference, is quite low down in the pecking order, let's say. And we won everything. We were unbeaten. And I was being invited to camps. I was untouchable in my head. I was like, you know what I'm doing? I'm killing it right now. I went into the Premier League under 18s basketball, and my first game was just terrifying. Got smashed by like 80 by some London team.
Dang.
Absolutely tore us apart. And I didn't know what to do. I had no answers, because I didn't know enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
But having people come in, sometimes not necessarily people who are maybe been in there as long as you or whatever, just someone to look at something in a different perspective and now educate me in a different way of looking at things. And I need to educate myself. And now I have a few more answers.
Yep.
You know, and you got to do that. If you don't do that, you can't expect the kids to get better. It just won't happen.
Absolutely. All right. Switching gears here a little bit more. How has it been calling Raiders games during a pandemic with no fans?
Nerve-wracking. Like, it's really empty. It's new to me as well. This isn't like something I've done for a long time. I've been coaching for, I don't know, 16, 17 years in Plymouth, right? Since I was young. And then one season, a few years back, someone said, hey, do you want to stand in for commentary? The guy that normally does it's not there. Do you want to jump in? You know enough about basketball to say some stuff. I'm like, yeah, cool. So I did it, and that was fine. For one season, on and off, maybe 100 people listening on the YouTube link or whatever, because everyone else is in the arena.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we did our first live broadcast, me and Pablo, the other week against, was it Worcester? I can't remember who it was. No, Worcester or Bristol or something. We had 2,000 people tuned in.
Yeah, yeah, you can see that.
Oh my days. And I know it's not about us, but I...
It is still nerve-wracking.
For God's sake.
And I
get pulled apart with my friends, my fellow coaches, my players, the home fans.
If there's one thing we found with BBL Twitter, it is people are not shy about criticizing what's going on the court or in the commentary.
My academy players aren't shy. So I've got my phone in front of me because I try to interact as I do my commentary. And I don't know why I decided to do that. I just did it. And we decided to talk through halftime, all this sort of stuff. And my guys are giving me stick.
Yeah, I love that.
I swear it's because we're not on a court right now, so I can't go and do anything about it.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't make them run lines.
Oh my gosh, guys, jinx.
Even they're giving me stick. I think I spent 10 minutes the other day calling Ramon Fletcher Raymond. it wasn't, I know what his name is.
It's stressful.
It's me. I get on the podcast and all of a sudden I'm like saying insane things that I've never messed up before.
Yeah.
It's right. That's very funny though.
I enjoy it. I do enjoy it. I don't know how I'd cope with on-court commentary. I'm not sure about that. I like being behind the laptop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like my safety blanket.
That's fair. So, you know, we said you wear many different hats. You're a coach. Yes. You're a commentator. If someone is new to the BBL, maybe they need, you know, an NBA comparison to kind of understand what your coaching style is like, what your commentary style is like. I can tell that this is a nerve-wracking question already. I'm so excited. If you had to compare your coaching style to an NBA coach and your commentating style to an NBA commentator, who would they be?
Right.
Great question, Skylar.
Thank you. Thank you,
Ryan. Great question. So great that I was on Google today going, right, what am I
who,
like?
Who are
Phil
NBA
Jackson,
coaches?
Pat Riley, Nick Nurse.
Well,
yeah, just name the greats. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, like my issue is, I look at all these people and I'm going, I can't compare myself in any way. Right? that's the first thing I'm saying, like, because... Like,
but we're making you do it, so you have to.
So I'm thinking about what I see and what I hear on, like, the, you know, the mic'd up videos that the NBA do. I like.
Do
that
we
stuff.
Know the Mike Tuck videos? Brian is Mike Tuck's biggest fan.
He's handsome. No. I don't know what to say.
No, sorry. You've got Mike. No, I said the mic'd up.
Videos. Oh, the mic'd up.
The mic'd up videos.
You're the perfect name for commentary. The Mike Tuck. He needs to make that his own.
Mike Tuck. There you go, Mike. Take that.
Yeah, I just hear Mike Tuck no matter what you say. So
I love the stuff that you do with Mike Tuck. It's hilarious.
He loves him.
He gets everywhere. No, so I like those videos. And my approach has always been quite a personal approach with the players. I'm not the shout guy. I'm not the, hey, run suicide badass guy. It's just not me. It's more about having relationships and trying to get the
players coach.
Yeah, there you go.
Trying to get the players involved. I used to get criticized a lot for being way too nice to my players. Like, and
classic Tottenham fan, right? You're just too nice, Paul.
So I think from what I listen to, I love what Steve Kerr does, how he communicates with his players individually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and he's one of the guys that I noticed do it a lot.
Yep.
I don't get the privilege of staying up until 3 a.m. to watch all the NBA games. So I don't, I can't give you too much more than what I see on the TV here and stuff like that. But something like that, just the way he talks to his players, I admire that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great choice.
You
know, clear for all my friends, I'm not comparing myself.
But that's your style, listen, and that's what you like to emulate.
Yeah, and we hyped you up enough to say that you can compare yourself to an NBA coach.
And it can be aspirational.
Yeah.
So, that would be the style that I like. Commentary. So this is a difficult one because I didn't actually know too many names of the commentary. So I spent a good hour today just researching different commentators. And listening to clips.
I'm glad I gave you homework before this podcast.
I appreciate that. And there was two things that really stood out for me, right? So Mr. Cavalier, Austin Carr. So I don't know, this could be something completely known to you guys. But
it's not.
It's not.
So there was a game, Cavs versus OKC, and Melo was at OKC. And they called him Mr. Cavalier because he's just the biggest Cavaliers fan and he's a commentator. Mm-hmm. And Melo misses a free throw and he's just tearing him apart. Because he's a fan.
Yep.
Like, yeah. And he got fouled out. And this guy was so happy that he got fouled out. You know, he couldn't hide it. He couldn't be mutual. Yeah. He couldn't be mutual. And Mike Rice, he was the only commentator, I believe, to get ejected from a game.
I would love to see that. That would be so funny. Get Pabs being ejected for something.
He was arguing with the ref in the Trailblazers game against Philadelphia. he was amazing. A Blazers fan. And he ended up getting ejected from his microphone.
So you're saying you're a nice coach?
Aspirations.
Yeah, you're a nice coach, but a harsh commentator. Just black and white.
My problem with commentary is I'm a fan. I said it on many podcasts. I sat front row of Plymouth Raiders at 14, 15 years old, watching the team, getting autographs, going to the camps. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I had to apologize to Ramon Fletcher after the game. Nothing's too serious. But he saw me celebrating after the game against Newcastle, you know, and I'm stood up and I'm fist pumping in the air and he's looking at me like, come on, man, like your commentary. So, afterwards, I know Drew Lasker really well.
Yeah.
So I went down and I said, hey, look, it was nothing personal. It was a great game. Like, it's a compliment to you because rarely we beat Newcastle by one point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was like, hey, look, it's all good. He was really cool about it. There was no issues. But I'm a passionate fan.
Yeah.
And it's trying to balance that on commentary is difficult.
Yeah. All right. Final question of our questions. Then we'll move on to Twitter.
Well, I have
questions.
One more, Skylar. I have another bonus
Brian,
question.
We'll let you throw in a bonus. How many months would you need to get Brian into playing shape for the Raiders? We want Brian on the Raiders. How many months do you need with him to get him into shape?
How many minutes do you want?
Okay. Let me give you my scouting report. Quick scouting report. I'm 6'4", listed, Skylar.
6'3".
Don't say – I'm 6'3 and a half without shoes. With shoes, okay. I'm certainly 6'4 or above.
It's got a lot of hair right now. It might be an extra couple
Yeah,
inches.
I do have a lot of hair. Look what I'm – you know.
Oh, man.
You know, wow. I just have some great flow. It's actually cut, but, you know, it's just hats for days now. 6'4", got a 6'7 wingspan, so I've got some defensive length.
Mm-hmm.
So not
I did not
arms.
Mean for this to just turn into Brian describing himself physically.
You pushed it over. I probably have arthritis in both ankles. Just turned 30. I'm a very good shooter, but I'm a little overweight right now in the pandemic. So you're gonna have to work off those pandemic pounds. But great shooter, great 3-and-D guy. And I'm looking for 15 minutes a game. Glue guy on the bench, bring me in.
Locker room guy.
I'm gonna be a great contributor to the atmosphere and the culture.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to get a contract? Do I need to call PJ up and?
I mean, we'll see.
Absolutely.
So what do you think? How long? What will it take?
So look, I've seen you play in fancy dress outfits. So that does show a positive that under extreme circumstances you can perform.
Those hoops were definitely 10 feet, by the way. So don't be deceived. It was just camera work made them look shorter.
I was dunking on 10 feet.
Yeah, I have the same issue. I don't want to guarantee how long, but we do have one of the best rehab guys in the league.
Oh, all right.
Elliot Cockrell. Okay, look him up. Machine Rehab. He is one of the best. He is the best rehab guy in the BBL, in my opinion. So if he gets his hands on you, okay, I don't think it'll be long at all.
Okay.
I think he'll put you through a workout program. He'll monitor yourself, and he'll be the jury right there. He'll be the one who turns to PJ and says, hey, yeah, this guy's good to go.
All right, Skylar, there's my path.
Then you're good.
Second career. After 30 BBL players, I'll just take one of those American visas. They definitely couldn't find someone better. Bonus question. Would you consider coaching for the London Looperlonics, London and the UK's first NBA team?
See, I've heard a lot about this.
Yeah.
The Looperlonics. And I love the name because I used to love the Sonics, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was a big Sonics guy of Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. I used to love that when I was a kid. Had the shoes with the zips on the front, everything.
Oh, so cool.
I think who's on the roster? Can we just check that?
Okay, so Mo Muncy is the GM. So you're going to be working with Mo. So yeah, I don't know if you get along with him or not, but good guy.
We'll
so far, I've been recruiting Gareth Bale. So Gareth Bale's on the team.
Confirmed.
Not sure about his skill set.
We may need to bring Elliot in to help him with rehab.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yep, may need to help him. And so far, you know, I don't want to put, you know, the cart before the horse. You can recruit players. So we don't have a huge squad built out yet. So you have that opportunity to build your preferred roster.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'd have to move to London. I can do that.
Season.
Count me in. Just don't tell my boss that I'm moving. Just
got it. Okay. We'll sign you up. You're on the waiting list. Exactly.
Don't worry. This isn't recorded. All right, let's finish up with some questions from Twitter. We got some fun ones. First question from Ravioli. Not sure if that's their real name.
Friend of the pod.
At Joe St. Ledger. How can we encourage British players to go pro in the UK while studying on scholarship rather than playing college in the States?
Right. So I really like this guy because he's jumped up on my Twitter a few times now.
Yeah.
And I've done a little bit of research on him.
Shout out Ravioli.
He's merchandise from every club.
Whoa.
He has a t-shirt from every club in the league.
That's very impressive. Yeah.
Right. WBBL, BBL. I think it's really cool. I love that.
Yeah.
But how would I encourage him? This is a really difficult question for me because I said it earlier. It's got to be what's right for the guy, the person, the player. You know?
I guess that's the question is, are you trying to encourage British players to stay in the UK?
Yeah, 100%. You know, We want to encourage guys to go through the program, to be a part of what we do. Go to Marjon University, you know, try out for the pro team. Like, we love that. The idea of that story. And I feel we've got the right people in the right places to make sure you get the best out of that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe years ago, you would encourage people to go somewhere else. I've done it before because I didn't think I could have got the best out of that person. So I thought it was better to go somewhere else. You can't be selfish. So many coaches are. They keep their guys, and maybe they need to play in a tougher league or whatever. So if that happens, you show them the way.
Yeah.
But I would definitely do it just by showing them the path. You know, really breaking down the ladder, taking them to a BBL session, and saying, "Hey, look, this is where we want you to be. This is what it looks like." You know, same. Take them to university. This is what it looks like. But you need to understand what's good for them, what's good for their family, what's good for their education. Like that has to come first before anything decides with basketball.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if that answers it or not, but I would just act as an origin by just showing them what's in front of them.
Yeah, but that was a great answer.
Yeah, just don't be narrow-minded about it. I'll show them plenty of other opportunities as well.
Yeah.
And they have to make that choice.
Moving on to a question from Ben Roper at Benir, B-E-N-I-R. What changes would you make to the talent development system in Britain to bring it more in line with Europe?
So Ben Roper, I've known for a long, long time.
This is a friend. Yeah. We love a friend contributed question for our guests.
I texted him as soon as I saw this and I said, "I hate you," because he likes to get me research and stuff.
Lots of homework before this pod.
He's the guy that coaches the coaches. So he's always on my case, and we always, he's the guy, if you give him an answer, he'll break that into another five questions, right? So my answer for the Europe, I would say what I would like to see over here more is free.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, you go to FIBA free tournaments, a huge, you know, Olympic basketball coming up, right? Free. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go to the States. I don't know if it's big over there, but I would like to see a more serious approach to free-on-free basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is it helps with spacing, creativity. You get more shots because you got the ball more. Okay. You get more passes because you've got the ball more.
Yeah.
You develop your 1v1 skills. It's exciting to watch and it's easy to organize and play.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, and when we start talking about what sort of players we want in teams, we want guys who can guard the 1v1. We want guys that understand spacing. We want unselfish people. And all of that goes into free BP, free on free basketball. Yep. All that goes into it. So I would say, I would love to see, we do bits over here. Mm-hmm. Like there is a few bits and bobs going on, but I would like to a more serious approach to that style of basketball, because I think it would really benefit sort of the young kids.
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, we have huge 3-on-3 tournaments here in the States.
Yeah.
And there's actually pro levels you can go to. Like my point guard on my league team that I play with is Damon Huffman, and he was on the U.S. 3-on-3 team that won the World Championships in Amsterdam. And
we had a guy last season. Had a guy last season who played for Estonia.
So there's you can reach really high levels professionally in 3-on-3 even. So it's not like it's just its own skill development.
For a younger age group, it was like guys play 3-on-3 all the time, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But to have something more organized for a younger age group, you know, maybe in the summer we're filling this void into summer with a 3-on-3 national league. Something. Yeah. You've got to man that. You've got to find the coaches to do it. And then you start talking money and everything else. But
that's great.
I would like to see that a lot more.
Yeah.
Regarding getting guys ready, like I said about before, You've got to give them educated information. You know, if I take the example for the USA guys, I've had plenty of guys who want to go to the USA to go to college. So I invite them to come with me to a camp. Mm-hmm. I show them what it's like. I introduce them to people, to college coaches, and just say, hey, look, this is what it's all about. This is what it's really like. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to move away from home. You're going to be put in pressure situations. You've got to be on top of your grades. You're going to be, you know, all this sort of stuff. And just give them real information. Give them real information. And it's the same with the BBL stuff.
Yeah.
Help guys achieve better things by putting them in harder situations, which is still achievable. You know, test guys, let them see what the BBL setup is like. Talk to pro players. You know, I've had pro players in on Zoom calls with some of my guys just to give people downloads of what it's like to be actually a pro.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all just playing basketball, signing autographs. You know, there's a lot more to it. And, you know, they have to go through a lot of things. You have to leave home sometimes. They get cut sometimes. They find new teams sometimes. It's quite a difficult life, you know. It really is, especially when you're not getting paid millions of dollars or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. It becomes a little bit harder. So it's just really giving guys facts and putting them in positions where they can see it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this Archie question, Skylar.
Final Twitter question. Archie Domingo.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, Archie Domingo.
We love Archie.
Is he good enough yet? I don't know if this means in basketball or just like in general, but
Archie,
the way.
You are good enough, Archie.
Archie, you're good enough for us.
I don't know Archie. But I checked out his profile, right? I thought I'd do my homework again.
Yep.
Archie, you're ready.
That's
ready,
a
Archie.
Very funny question, considering you don't know.
I don't know what you're ready for, but you're ready.
Archie, get some confidence. We want to see you out there.
Bet on yourself, Archie. We got you.
Absolutely.
All right. This was incredible. Paul, thank you so much. Tell the people where they can find you.
I don't even know my own Twitter handle and stuff. That's my problem. I'm on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, Coach Paul Nicholson or Paul Nicholson, it could be. I honestly don't know my own Twitter handle. So
we'll link to it. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll link to it.
Yeah, you figure it out, right? So I'm more than happy just to talk to people, speak to people, ask questions, share experiences, whatever, you know, take criticism. I'm game for it all. I don't mind. So yeah, but check out our podcast. Mm-hmm. You can also follow me on YouTube. I do have a YouTube account with drills and stuff like that on it as well. So feel free to jump on that too.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's pretty much me.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it.